if you're afraid of getting it wrong, there's nothing braver than getting it wrong on purpose. And when you do, a lot of times people realize, number one, I really like what I've made. I really liked that experience. For the first time, they learn what it's like to paint without fear. Hi, and welcome to episode 168 of Art Juice. This is honest, generous, and humorous conversations to feed your creative soul and get you thinking. With me, Louise Fletcher.
And me, Alice Sheridan.
And we've only got half of Alice today because the poor thing, you should see how she's dragged herself here to do this for you. We've postponed it for a few days so that she'd give herself time to recover, but Alice is not well. So she's drinking, I don't know, is that whiskey in that cup?
That would be a good idea. No, this is just hot water.
So she's drinking hot water. She's tired and exhausted. And so this might be a shorter episode than normal, but I'm just so proud of her for showing up and doing it anyway, because it was going to have to be me rabbiting on my own, which I think would have been quite boring.
I'm just here as a sounding board.
Okay, yes. So yeah. Alice can't speak very much, so it will be mostly me speaking. And we've chosen a subject that just happens to be on my mind at the moment. And it's quite funny because our subject is about venturing into the unknown. And we genuinely are doing that because I've written a couple of notes, but I have no idea what I'm going to say. I just went for a dog walk and tried to muster some wisdom, but I'm not sure that it came through. It's just something that's been on my mind a lot recently. And I thought we could talk about it because it's something I can blather on about and Alice can rest her voice.
I think it's reacting to how things change when you don't expect them to as well. Yes. Is that part of it?
It is part of it. Yeah.
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 It happens.
So let's first of all, very quickly, do you want to talk about what you've been doing, or will that use up too much voice?
Yeah, I feel like I've been in a kind of weird time loop of groundhog days of every morning. It's another day. Oh, I think I might be feeling a bit better today. Get up. Oh, no, I'm not feeling better. Oh, get to the end of the day. Actually, the afternoon wasn't too bad. Evening, go to bed. Don't sleep.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, here we are again. I feel a bit like that. But, you know what it's like. And it's not the thing. I've tested. It's not the thing. But it feels like, from everybody's comments of the thing, that's what it could be like. But yeah, it's
the
tedious
thing part two.
Yeah, it's tedious. I'm bored of myself. I'm bored of not being able to do what I want to do. I'm behind. You know, so that's today's subject is going to be interesting because I've got to react and adapt. And everybody keeps saying, take it easy, rest. But the reality is, you know, there are still things actually that you have to do when people are relying on you. And I have postponed, you know, calls and meetings and things, but actually there are still things that need to happen. We've got people going through Time to Shine, which is really good fun, but I can't leave them in the lurch, even though I can't record anything new at the moment. And we had our Connected Artist meetup on Thursday, which actually on Wednesday I was feeling quite a bit better. I was like, good, I'm better, we can go, this can happen. And it wasn't blisteringly hot and it didn't rain and it was such good fun. So that was lovely. And I've got a whole bunch of photographs back from the photographer, which we're going to be sharing with everybody because it's just such a nice record of the event. And it just occurred to me a few weeks before that, if I'm there, I'm going to be trying to take like crummy pictures on my phone rather than enjoying it. So I'll get the photographer in so that we've got a record. And the whole time I was thinking, this is going to be so nice to see afterwards.
Yeah.
And he sent me through the file and I was like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, and someone else's view of it is nice. Not your view of it, but someone else's perspective.
Yeah. And I sort of deliberately didn't brief him that much. I just said, you know, just record it. It's about the group. But we got there a bit early and he got one or two of me, which are quite nice and they're going to be very useful. Looking at them, you wouldn't tell I wasn't feeling very well. It's quite funny, isn't it? But it was just, it was really nice. And we had members come from North Yorkshire, Ireland, people flew over from, people had traveled down and they'd done a pod meetup first. and then different events were happening, like people did like little pop-up Bristol, Manchester, Washington DC, different things all happened at the same time. So it was just, so the Facebook group for Connected Artists has been like buzzing with real life meetup chat, and it's just great to see those kind of friendships that have been started online actually translate into real life, and everybody being quite amazed that they've not actually ever even met anybody before, because it feels like we have. So yeah, so that was the highlight.
Yeah, when people, when, and it's less so, but like my mum's generation, there are people who say, oh, you want to be careful who you meet on the internet. Yeah. And it's like, no, because it's just so amazing. Yeah. The friendships that you can make online. And as long as you don't fall for the Tinder swindler, you're okay. As long as you don't fall for someone who says they're a handsome billionaire, but they're on Tinder looking for a girlfriend, you'll be okay. So my week has been, I was saying before we started that it's amazing how much you can do when you're really busy. And we've discussed this before. We're both the same. If you have to manage lots of things, you'll just manage it somehow. And it hasn't been even particularly stressful. It's just been a lot to keep, a lot of balls to keep juggling.
Yeah.
Because I have an exhibition that launched on Friday the 27th, and I was doing an online private view for that. So there's all the getting ready for that, and it's in a gallery. So they're getting the paintings there, going over there to film so I could make a video of the event. And then my course launched the day after, and this was just, the exhibition was planned last year, so there's no excuse for me having somehow set my course up at the same time. But yeah, I've just found that because it's been so busy, I'm amazed at what I've got done. I've done some car insurance, renewed my driving license, done some doctor things. It's like I can fit them all in because I'm busy. And yet somehow when I've got more time, seems like time kind of slips away from me. So it'd be lovely if I could find this middle ground. But the nicest thing of the week was, two nice things. The first thing was going to the gallery on Thursday. So I went on Monday, took my paintings, left them all, went back on Thursday morning, the show opened on Friday, and to film it and just to see them hanging up. And it's quite a long drive. It's 2.5 hours from me, right across the, as far away in Yorkshire as it's possible to be from where I am.
Big county.
Yeah, it is a big county. Yeah. And but beautiful drive. You can go a quick way that's like motorway, dual carriageways, or you can go the slow way and enjoy everything. And I did that both times. And it was amazing to see my paintings. We've talked before that they were hanging them and I wasn't choosing what went up or where they put them. But, and the people who put the paintings up for that gallery, they have a manager who's paid, but they have volunteers who do the hanging, and they did a beautiful job. Like, I don't think any gallery could have done it more, could have done it better. That's the word I'm looking for. Beautiful. And I was so, the manager said, oh, I've been told to look at your expression because Steve, who hung them all, he'd gone on holiday and he wants to know what your expression is when you walked in, because he thinks you're going to love it. And I was like, oh, it's amazing. It really is beautiful.
Yeah.
That's a lovely feeling. And it made me think about the ways it might be possible to let people into our art life. It's hard.
Yeah.
Like musicians have record producers and actors have directors, but we just have ourselves most of the time. So that was lovely.
I wonder if there is something as well at the stage at which that happens, because it, when somebody does that at that stage in the process, in a way you've finished your relationship with your painting at that point, haven't you?
Yes.
So it's kind of easy. It's almost like someone else comes along and puts their little bit of magic on it, which helps you see it in a new way as an outsider. It's a little bit like when you get work back from the framer and all of a sudden it kind of feels fresh because you don't have that kind of in it intimacy with it. There's a distancing that really helps. Whereas I don't know about you, but when I'm in the making the painting, I think that's quite a hard stage. That would be quite a hard stage to let somebody else in at, wouldn't it?
I know. Musicians who have record producers, I know Noel Gallagher of Oasis, he never used to let anyone produce anything. He used to do everything himself. Mm. And I could imagine that. And then in later years, I gather he's had producers and things. And I wonder what that's like when someone else comes in and says, oh, that's your idea, but I think we should take it in this direction.
It's always collaborative, isn't it? I was watching yesterday, there was a thing about music in 1999, which was the year that I got married. And it was saying it was, you know, this amazing year of Ibiza and everybody was happy and it was dance music and, like, you know, lots of really good pop songs. And they had, can't remember her surname, Roisin, is it Murphy from Moloko? And she'd done this track and she said, you know, it was a year that everything was getting mixed and the record label had paid a fortune for it to go off to this, you know, big mixer to mix a track to be released for the dance floors. And she got it back and it was like, And then they got a CD in the post from somebody else who had mixed it, a kind of nobody really knows about them, a mixer. And she listened to it and she said, it was one of those things, I sort of got chills and I just thought, this is the one. And I said to the record label, this is the one. And they were like, no, because we spent all this money on the other thing. And she said, I remember like lying on the desk and like being cross with them and saying, no, but this is the one. This is the mix that really counts. And they were like, no, we're going with the one we spent money on. And then there was a music thing and a DJ got hold of the mix that she wanted and started playing that. And it just took off big time. Then she called the record company and they went, yeah, okay, we'll pull the other one and put that one on. But it's interesting. I think there's a collaboration that in music, I don't know if it exists in the same way in art.
No, I don't think it does.
Although having said that, I think that there are conversations that you have that can reflect things back to you. I mean, I was looking with something, the conversation I had with Sam Boughton about her work when she was at a stage where, you know, she had some real struggles with it. And then I look and see what's happened as a result of that conversation now and the work that she's making now. It's not down to me, it's down to her and the work she's doing. But I really, sometimes when you get those conversations happening at the right time, I think that can have a huge impact.
Yeah. Collaborating in small groups to discuss your work or one-on-one to discuss your work with other people. As in, I tend to avoid critiques, but conversations where you're discussing what you're trying to do and other people are giving their thoughts and input and ideas, that can really spark a lot of things, I think.
So
anyway, that was that. And I launched my course last night as we speak.
Yeah.
And at the same time, as I said, and that's lovely to see people coming in and being excited. As we always say, when you launch something, it's just exciting to see other people's excitement and you know what's coming for them. Yeah. So, you know, I can see all their potential that's not tapped into yet, that's going to come out, and it's exciting. So it's been a good week, but really, really tiring. I'm ready for a rest.
So if you're listening to this when it goes out, which will be on Tuesday the 31st, you've got a couple of days, haven't
Tuesday
you?
Tuesday the 31st, yes. Yeah. Actually, yes, you do have a couple of days. That's a good point. If you're listening to this live, we close on June the 2nd at midnight Pacific time, which is actually June the 3rd early morning for us in the UK, but I just do Pacific time because I don't know, I like it. So it makes me feel like I might be basking on the beach in California if I do Pacific time. So yes, if you are interested, you can find that on my website at louisefletcherart.com. And as I say that, I'm thinking, better get that page up on your website, Louise, because it will be when you listen to this. Hang on, let me write myself a note. Do as I say, not as I do, people. Now, I approached Alice about this main topic this week, partly because I knew she couldn't speak and she was feeling horrible. I wanted to be in bed. So I felt like if I need to do more talking, I can handle this topic. But also because I just wrote my newsletter, my weekly newsletter about this. And I've been thinking about it a lot, about the unknown. Mm-hmm. And I've been thinking about it because of the people coming into my course who were nervous and excited and not sure what's going to happen. I've been thinking about it because of the free course, seeing people doing things they wouldn't expect to do and getting results they wouldn't have expected to get. And I've been thinking about it because of decisions I'm thinking about in my own life. And I thought about how, let me try and phrase this beginning idea. When we think about doing something, and I'm thinking about in our paintings or in our art in a broader sense, like starting a body of work or in our life, we approach it from the perspective of, okay, what do I know? We might have an idea, a spark of an idea, but instantly our brains kick in and say, yeah, but what about this and this and this and this and this? And our brains do that based on what we've experienced in the past. So if I think I'm going to go move to Brazil and live in a beach house, not that I'm going to do that, my brain goes, oh, you don't know anyone in Brazil. And I've heard that they have loads of big bugs there. And what will you do when you get old? What's the healthcare service like? And da, 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 da. And I've noticed that those thoughts rush in so fast, you have no time to contemplate the original thought of maybe I should live in a beach house in Brazil, because now they've just been crushed. And so I was thinking about that in our painting as well, how our brains try and keep us safe. However, so I say, right, I'm not going to go to a beach house in Brazil. That's crazy. I'm going to stay here where I'm safe, where everything's safe, where it's my comfort zone, except it's not safe. It's never safe, or we don't know it's safe, should I say. We're not in control of anything that happens. So I think the safe thing to do is stay here where I am. But if I stay here, I might get run over by a tractor in 2 months' time and completely crushed. Whereas if I'd gone to Brazil and lived in the beach house, I wouldn't have been anywhere near a tractor. Now, this is all probably sounding like rambling nonsense, but it's just making me think about, we think we're keeping ourselves safe by staying in our comfort zones, whether that's in our painting or whether that's in our life. But actually, we have no idea whether that's safe. And we're basing that idea of safety on what we know. And we can't take into account what we don't know. So when I started that series of work that's in the exhibition now, and when you started that series that you're showing in the gallery, we couldn't picture what it was going to look like. Mm-mm. We can picture it now because it exists, but we didn't know what we were doing when we started. And that uncertainty about not knowing what we do when we start, that's the thing I love about being an artist.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that most of the people who come into my course are not comfortable with. That's why they need me, because what they're looking for is some kind of certainty. I want to paint abstract landscapes and I want to know how to do it. I want someone to tell me the roadmap so that I can do it well. I don't want to dive into the unknown. Don't want to wander around in a desert trying to figure it out. I want someone to tell me. And when we can get them to realize, no, it's okay to wander around in the unknown because something fantastic comes, then they're free of all that trying to control. Does any of that make any sense? Have I rambled on about too much all at once?
No, it does makes perfect sense. And I think it happens for us probably in different areas of our life in different ways, because as you say, the experiences that we've built up. I'm not sure how much I feel that about making art, in the sense that I think it's totally natural. And I think not only does it happen, but it's a welcome part of the beginning of new work. You need to have that feeling of curiosity, not knowing what's going to happen. Otherwise, it's just dull and boring and routine and like, who wants that? But I'm not sure that I've ever been fearful of that. I've always embraced that part of making art because that's the attraction of it for me.
Yes.
Is going into that space and wondering, what if? You know, it's very easy, like you say, to have that, oh, but this could happen, this could happen, this could happen. Yeah. But what if you do it? But what if you try this? But what if you, you know, book the thing, jump out of the helicopter, go on the walk, get off the train in the wrong place and have an explore, use a colour that you've never done. That thing. And I just wonder when that gets set. So I'm just looking up because, I mean, this is a known thing, this learner mindset versus growth mindset. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really what's at the core of this, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. It's what that... Is it growth mindset that I'm talking about, that we're talking about, that we want to jump in and grow? Is that the one is that where we are? I can't remember which is which.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know that when I started teaching, it was because I realized that's what I had without realizing it was unusual. You know, when you're just naturally good at something, but you don't realize everyone else doesn't feel the same way.
Yeah.
And then you realize, oh, there's some other people who feel differently than me.
It's fixed mindset versus growth
mindset. Yeah. And there's an artist, and I'm not going to name this artist because I haven't asked permission, but we were discussing years ago, she took my course and was very admiring of another painter and said, I will never be that good. Yeah. And I said, I don't agree. I think, and she had a goal of what she wanted to achieve. Over the years, she's achieved it in spades.
Mm.
And she just said to me, by the way, that original painter that I used to love leaves me cold now. The one I thought I couldn't match up to. Because for what she wants, her work is better for what she's aiming for.
Yeah.
And she mentioned the word growth mindset to me at that time. Or you believe in the growth mindset, but I'm not sure that's true. And it's such an example of what's possible. But yes, it's that. I agree with you. I've not struggled ever feeling that way in my painting. And yet I don't bring that into my life as I get older. As I get older in life, I'm a lot more cautious.
Mm.
So I was thinking back to when I moved to America. Let's carry on with the imagining going to Brazil, which I promise I've never even been to Brazil. When I moved to America at 24, I didn't even know they didn't have national healthcare. I didn't even know when we got there, we wouldn't have a healthcare. I didn't know I wouldn't get a work permit and I wouldn't be able to work, which just turned out to be true. Because we were 24 and stupid, we just went. And then over time, it worked out. Somebody got me a work permit, that I found a healthcare, I got benefits with work. But if I was doing that now at my age, I'd go, oh, have you thought about healthcare? What's the situation with that? There'd be all this stuff based on what I know. And yet it all panned out. It was fine.
Interesting, isn't it? Because I'm imagining that your ability to deal with all of those things is actually, well, is it? You know, is your ability to deal with the unknown things actually better now than when you were 24? Because, you know, we go through life with all kinds of experiences that get thrown at us. And I've said this before, you know, if you knew what life was going to hurl at you when you were 18, probably nobody would bother. Because, you know,
when it's all over.
Yeah, if you knew all of that ahead of time, you'd be like, oh, my Lord, that sounds like a lot of hard work. I'm not quite sure about that. But it doesn't necessarily all come at the same time, does it? I remember my mum saying once something about, you know, life generally gives you, you know, what you have the ability to handle. And in advance of time, you probably have an idea of what your capacity is on that. But actually, when challenges come up, it stretches that capacity and then you learn more about yourself.
Yeah. And that point you're making about challenges coming up, that's what I'm saying about we're not ever really safe, even when we think we're keeping ourselves safe.
Exactly.
Because you just don't know what's coming. My friend last year was diagnosed with cancer and dead within 2 months. That couldn't have possibly envisaged that a few months before that. And it really makes you stop and think, if there is no true, I don't mean you're not safe, but you're not in control, because I actually think you are safe until the day we check out. It always works out one way or another, but we're trying to control all this stuff instead of just saying, all right, I'm actually going to take the big risk. I'm going to do the thing. And then see what happens. It came up again for me, sorry to jump around, but one of my close friends has had an opportunity to buy a house miles away from where he lives now, and for a very good price. And he said, and in a place they absolutely love. And he said, we're definitely going to do it, but if it turns out we can't have that house because she puts the price up or whatever, then we just won't go. And I was like, hang on a second. So that's the only house, the one, you know, that they've stayed in this house a lot of times. They know it.
Right.
So that's the only house in that area that would be suitable for you. If you've decided you'd be willing to make this giant leap to go to this other place, why would that be the only house? Because it's a little bit of safety in a bigger, giant, uncertain thing. Well, at least we know the house. We know where the toilet is. We know how the taps work. But that's not really safety either.
I think in a situation like that, that's perhaps all he's prepared to anticipate and imagine at the moment. And if the situation changes and that house isn't available, then he might find himself feeling differently about it.
Yes. Yes, you might.
Yeah.
I just find it fascinating how, because we can only see what we will lose in any situation. It's the same when we cover something up in a painting. So we've got this bit, it's beautiful, but we know we need to cover it up. And we can only see what we're going to lose. We're going to lose that beautiful bit, but we can't yet see what we're going to gain because it hasn't happened yet. And the experience that we've had, I think both of us now know that. So we'll go, okay, well, I'll just have to cover it up and see what happens. But a few years ago, I got really hung up on those bits because I couldn't imagine the good stuff that might come. So we look at a situation, like my friend looks at this house and he thinks, oh my God, I'll be miles away from my friends and I won't be able to go to the same church and I won't be able to, you know, do whatever, this group that I go to on a Tuesday night will be gone. And he doesn't know that in this new place, there might be this amazing group of friends waiting for him, who are so much better than the ones he has here, or so much more life going on, or there might be an opportunity that's going to be there for him, which couldn't happen unless he goes there.
See, I wonder if I have a tendency to do the exact opposite from what you're describing.
What's that?
Not see the negatives, not see the downsides.
Oh, that's interesting.
Just, you know, think, oh yeah, this is good, oh this is exciting, this is different, this is new, let's do it and see. Oh shit, didn't think about that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying necessarily that it's better, but I, as I'm listening to you describing it, I'm thinking, yeah, I don't think like that.
Yeah, so you have the growth mindset in life as well as in painting.
I think more than how you're describing. Yeah. I think it's more like that whole, you know, are you driven a little bit by the carrot or the stick approach? You know, are you running from something that's a stick thing, or, you know, if you don't do that, this will happen. If you don't do that, they're all negatives. Whereas I think I'm much more moved towards, you know, what could happen? What is out there for you? What opportunities are available that you don't know about yet? That kind of way of thinking is just much more motivating for me. And yeah, I just think it's just more exciting. And that's not to say that I'm always in that headspace, but I think when I make changes or when I make decisions, it's much more from a point of view of a place that's kind of a little bit, yeah, let's do it. You know, shrug, let's do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've talked before about weighing things up and knowing things and understanding things. But I think actually when it comes down to it, it's much more, let's go.
And I think that's why both of us have made like businesses that some other people might still be dithering about. So I was talking to someone the other day, not an artist, but who's got an idea for a business, but they were dithering. They were like, well, I've got the idea, but then I don't know. I've just got to make myself do it. I've just got to find the time. I've just got to commit to it. Just jump in. Like, what's the worst that could happen? The worst that could happen is it doesn't work or you don't like it and you quit and you do something else. So in business, very much, I agree with you. I have that too. I think I've just noticed, and I've had it in life until older age, until like my late 50s. And I know people laugh, they send me emails saying, I'm 90. What are you saying about being old? I know I'm not old, but I mean, up until early 50s, I think I was in that leap in, do the thing, change. I mean, it's just 10 years ago that I ditched my entire life in America to come back here and start all over again. And I love that. Change is exciting. But I have noticed as I creep up towards the big 60 that my brain is working differently. It's throwing up, it's listening more to the outside voices that say, yeah, but what if? And there's little niggling voices that tell me that's a big risk to take at your age comes in often. I hear that in my head. At your age, you really want to be doing that at your age?
Presumably, though, that's just a natural physiological change, isn't it? Just in the same way that, you know, it takes time post-teenage years to, you know, grow into your prefrontal cortex that does proper rational judgments.
Yeah.
Exist in teenagers, really. You know, it takes time to go through that. And then I think, you know, for women as well, definitely menopausal hormones have an impact as how we respond to things in terms of risk. And
yeah, but I think while that might be the case for me, to loop it back round, it's definitely with a lot of people a big barrier to overcome, this idea of the unknown. And that's why I think it's a good topic for us to discuss, because we don't necessarily have it to the same extent. But watching people who are genuinely afraid, like one of the things I have people do is to make a bad painting, make something deliberately bad. And because if you're afraid of making a mess, if you're afraid of getting it wrong, there's nothing braver than getting it wrong on purpose. And when you do, a lot of times people realize, number one, I really like what I've made. I really liked that experience. For the first time, they learn what it's like to paint without fear, because I've got no fear, because I'm not trying to make anything nice. And there was one lady who said last night on our call, I am just making ugly paintings for the rest of my life because I love what I'm making. And she's completely freed from that. Whereas other people do that exercise and they really don't like it because I don't want to make things that horrible. But that's good to know too. It's just learning yourself. But this idea of, I just love finding different ways to get people into the same mindset you're describing, where they go, well, that might be exciting. You know, and if Seth Godin has this phrase, dancing with fear, recognizing that you're a bit scared, recognizing that, okay, this is a bit out of my comfort zone, but doing a dance with that instead of trying to block out the fear and stop it. I think that's what people do. They don't want to feel that feeling.
Yeah.
It's disconcerting. I like things to stay steady and stable, but what I'm trying to say is they don't anyway. So you might as well take the risk.
It's that old classic, feel the fear and do it anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think what I see is people say, and while I'm saying, I don't think I've ever approached it that way. I think the fallacy is assuming that, you know, other people don't come across these things. They don't have situations where they feel apprehensive or nervous, or, you know, you assume that it's okay because, you know, you have reassurance or confidence. Or confidence is a funny word. I think confidence is a really interesting word. I use it a lot when I'm thinking about things for me, because I think it's an important thing to build in yourself, but it doesn't mean that you won't ever have that fear. What it means is that you've got a kind of deep centered trust in your ability to manage whatever happens. That's what confidence means to me. It doesn't mean that you won't ever feel it, or that you won't know, or that you won't be lost, or you won't have you know, things that go wrong or that come up wrong in your life or whatever. But it's finding that core, real deep rooted in a sense of you that knows that you'll be able to respond in a way that you can manage, that will get you through it, that will get you through to the other side. And actually the other side, or the next level, or the whatever stage is going to be different. It's going to be different. Nothing stays the same forever. Nothing stays the same forever.
Yeah.
You know, and would you want it to? Would you want it to stay the same forever? Who wants to be stuck? I mean, I started off at the beginning saying, you know, I feel like the last 2 weeks has been Groundhog. I don't want my life to live like Groundhog Day. I want to be doing new things and pushing myself in a way that feels gently exciting.
Yeah.
You know?
I think there's lots of reasons, probably, and it always goes back to childhood, doesn't it? But there's lots of reasons why people do sometimes want to keep themselves living in Groundhog Day, because it's safe and secure. I think that goes back to childhood, though, doesn't it? So there are reasons why we might want to stay safe, reasons that we that it feels like we can protect ourselves by having some people. And I'm thinking of a friend of mine, do like to have the same life day in and day out, the same thing for lunch, the same routine of going to bed at the same time, because it keeps you safe and protected. But again, it doesn't. Nice. So, because the big bad monster can still come and get you at any time. And what would happen? And it's okay if you want to go to bed at the same time and have the same sandwich every day, but not if you want to stay stuck in painting. Don't do that, because there's so much possibility out there. And I can, that's what's exciting, is just thinking about these people coming in and to the course and thinking what's going to happen for them. And that when they get past that barrier, and some get past it in week one, and some take all 10 weeks, and some take a year. But they get past it, and then I get letters and cards saying, oh, you know, this has happened, that's happened, I've got this exhibition, I'm doing this show, I've organized an exhibition, or I've sold lots of paintings. All of that comes but all of that you couldn't imagine. No. All of that wasn't there, and you thought it was ridiculous. You just thought, well, that'll never happen for me. And then there it comes. So Alice is still going strong. She's still here. She's even managed to contribute to that discussion without losing her voice. So before she loses it completely, let's do what's inspired and let you go back to bed.
I think what's inspired this week then is a little bit following on from this, isn't it? So it's something that we discovered on Amazon. My daughter showed me, and we were watching this series. And I was thinking, oh, actually, I'll talk about this. And I was thinking, why has this inspired so much? Why have I enjoyed this series? And it's because within it, it just really feels like everybody within it is doing things to the best of their ability. And I think that's all we can do for ourselves, is show up, do what we do to the best of our ability, and look for those opportunities and things to keep developing and keep learning. And when it comes together, it is a little bit of magic, but it doesn't happen unless you show up for it. So the series is just, it's called Modern Love, and it's just, it's short series, but they're just very beautifully written. It's nicely filmed. It's not kind of like, you know, heavy the world is ending drama. But I really enjoyed those. And I think there's a kind of gentleness to them, and there's an inevitability to some of those stories, and there's surprise in some of those stories and regret in some of those stories. So it's just a really nice reflection of perhaps life and the decisions we make for ourselves. So yeah, if you haven't watched that, I don't know how old it is.
Is
I
that
might
the
be
one...
well late for the game on that.
Is it like short stories about different forms of love or romance? Is it?
Yeah, and I think it is taken from, it might have been taken from a New York Times column initially that they've then dramatized. But yeah, have you seen it then?
No, I think I might have seen one or two though. I haven't seen it knowingly, but I think I might have watched one or two. And is it? Yes, I think I have. And I think I enjoyed the ones that I watched, so I'll have to go look for it. I was going to say, what's inspired me this week is you showing up feeling this terrible. I think I've already really talked about what inspired me this week. It was the involvement of the gallery in hanging my paintings, which is really interesting because working with galleries has not been something I've ever had on my radar. We've discussed this before, or anything I've ever pursued. And this came about just because they found me online and asked me, and I thought, oh yeah, it's a beautiful space and I'd like to see some paintings hanging in. And then so I made a series of work specifically for it. And now I'm really glad I did. And I don't know if it's changed my mind going forward. I think I'd be really selective, and I don't know that the kind of places I would want to be would even want me, but I do really like the experience, and especially like the idea that all I have to do when they sell is put a red dot on my website and they do the rest. That's my favorite bit. And I know we've talked about gallery commissions and all of that. This is a little bit more reasonable than some are, but there is something to be said for not having to sit and spend the day on Parcel Hero and spend another day making cardboard boxes. Okay, so if you would like to sign up for my course, as I said, there is only a couple of days left. So unless you listen to this live, you can't. But if you do hear this, just go to my website, louisefletcherart.com. It will either be on the homepage if you scroll down a little bit, or there is a tab called Learn With Me and you will find it there. You can find Alice on Instagram at Alice Sheridan Studio and me on Instagram at LouiseFletcher_art. And we will see you next week, hopefully with a revived and vibrant Alice, and hopefully still with me in one piece.
I hope so. I've got plans for what I want to be doing in June, which I should be talking about, but not ready yet. So there we go. We've just got to kind of adapt and go with it at the pace it goes. And if there's one thing that I've learned, is that I do have to feel like I'm kind of like in the right space for things. I think it's, you know, it's all very well saying, yeah, just say yes. It's got to feel like a right yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've got to look after yourself, because there's absolutely no benefit to burning out completely and then being ill for months.
No.
You need to sleep.
I'm doing all the things. I'm doing all the honey and lemon and the blah, 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 and, you know, normally brought to you by Sinutab.
We'll see you next week, everybody.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.